Hey. So, you know, today is a momentous day in the life of a believer. And a long time ago, and I was trying to remember the gentleman's name, he married Marce and I, but he and I had a discussion about what was the most important Christian holiday. And a lot of people think that's Christmas. And he said, no, I don't think so. I think it's Resurrection Sunday. And the fact of the matter is, he's right. Today is the most monumental Christian holiday that there is. And so it is the day, right, that a little over 2,000 years ago, God the Father put life back into his only Son, and he arose from the dead, proving that death had no longer a hold on us. Death no longer, we were no longer captive to death. We are free. And if you look at John 8 and verse 36, it says, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And so today you are free. And that is a marvelous thing. And I do want to take a moment this morning just to welcome each and every one of you, you know, and join together. Right. We can bring our worship, our praise, our glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here today for, is to bring him glory and honor and praise for what he has done for us. Now, as Don pointed out, if you were here at Seder last night, or if you've been to Seder before, you know what the word de'enu means. It means it would have been enough. And so this morning, that is the title of my sermon. And so hopefully you will be able to see that it is enough. So I was thinking back to Don's message last week, and he was telling us that at the beginning of Holy Week, you know, Jesus entered Jerusalem as a hero. But it was only 4 days later that they were crying out, crucify him, crucify him. 4 days from being a hero to being somebody that they wanted on the cross. On Friday, there was an ugly old cross like we had this morning before we started with the flowers, right? There was an ugly old cross and death. But on the third day, there's a beautiful transition to eternal life, a lot like how we transformed that rugged old cross into a beautiful thing through all of the flowers that got put on it. So today is Resurrection Sunday. I don't want to call it Easter Sunday. I know everybody does call it Easter Sunday, but Easter has the connotation of a European goddess. That's not what we're worshiping today. Today is Resurrection Sunday. It is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to start out with a question. And I know sometimes I give you a quiz, but I thought, well, today is Resurrection Sunday. I'm still going to ask the question. So here it is. Do you ever think about what God wanted to put in place through the death and resurrection of his Son? What did he want to establish here on this earth through his death and resurrection? And in Bible study, we're going through this book. I think last time we had Bible study, we did a whole 3 verses in an hour, right? And that was moving right along. We sometimes only get to do a verse. But I thought Andrew Murray had a very good quote, which I wanted to share with you because I think it is exactly what God had in mind to put in place through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. And Andrew Murray says, the Father wants his children with him, not someplace else, with him. So often we think that God is over there or God is over here. That's not what God wants. God wants his children, you and I, to be with him. In his holy home, right, in his presence, in his holy home, of love, fellowship, abiding continually all the time. not part-time, not when we come to church on Sunday, although that's a good time, right? But he wants us continually to be with him all the time. When you think about that, that's kind of like the Garden of Eden before the original sin, right? You think Adam and Eve was afraid of God before the sin? I don't think so. I think they thought, man, this is really great to be in God's presence. And they and they enjoyed being in God's presence. It wasn't until they committed the original sin that they had a fear of God and they hid. But that wasn't God's plan. God wants us, as his children, to be with him in his holy home continually, all the time. So when you think of Resurrection Sunday, right, and I know this sounds like a second question, but it might be, what do you think the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ did for you, personally? What did it do for you? And I'd like to suggest four things. We really celebrate forgiveness of sins today, and we should. That is fundamental to everything that I'm going to cover in the rest of the sermon. So one of the very first things that we recognize for Resurrection Sunday is the forgiveness of our sins. But Dayenu, is that enough? How about entrance into God's presence? Right? That happened on Resurrection Sunday too, right? Dayenu, was that enough? How about adoption as children of God? That happened on Resurrection Sunday. You were adopted as God's children. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been adopted. And we're going to talk about each one of these individually. Dayenu, is that enough? We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That happened 50 days after Resurrection Sunday, but it was a result of Resurrection Sunday because Christ said if he were to leave, right, he would send his comforter to us. Dayenu, was that enough? So when you think of Resurrection Sunday, do you just think about the forgiveness of sins? That's important. But look at all the other things that happened to you, for you, on Resurrection Sunday. See, while Christ shed his blood on the cross, he washes away our sins. In fact, in 1 John 1:9, he says he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So when you think about being cleansed, right, does that mean if something is cleansed, does that mean there's a little dirt left? No. Cleansed does not mean there's a little dirt left. Cleansed means it's clean and there's nothing left. And so the scripture tells us that we are cleansed, right, from all unrighteousness. We are clean before the eyes of God. So when we think of Resurrection Sunday, we need to think about the forgiveness that we have, but we need to think about these other gifts as well. And you know today, if you were to look around the world, you would say, I would think you would anyway, you would say that the world is in turmoil, right? There's a lot of stuff going on, some of which you might agree with, some of which you might not agree with, but the whole issue is it's really in turmoil. And as Don pointed out last week, right, there was a lot going on. The Jews were under the rule of Rome, and today we would call that they were anti-Semitic. There's a term for you, modern day. Hey, the Romans were certainly anti-Semitic. And don't you forget it. And the worship of idols were widespread. Sin was all around them on all their sides. And sin had crept into the Israelites as well. And the sacrifice of the animals on the altar and the shedding of their blood, the animals' blood, did not change the hearts of men. It was only a symbol. And as Don pointed out, part of Seder in going through that is to recognize that the things that they did in the Old Testament were a shadow or representation of what was going to transpire with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was time for a new covenant to be put in place where the sins of man were taken care of once and for all. Not, we need to go next year and get forgiven. No. Christ forgives you. You are cleansed. It is not something that you have to do over and over. Christ does not die on the cross every year. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday because he arose from the dead. And he didn't die again. So you are cleansed from your sin. And when we accept that fact, that it is the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross that cleanses us and makes us righteous before God, then we are indeed, and you've heard all these terms before, you're born again. You are a new creation, and you're freed from the bondage of sin. Just look at Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's the blood of Christ. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins. How long? No more. They're gone. It has been taken care of. So for believers, being cleansed by the blood of Jesus and receiving the gift of salvation is truly a blessing beyond anything that we can imagine. It is a miracle that God chose to do that for us. Christ's death and resurrection gave us the forgiveness of our sins. Dayenu. Is that enough? But for God, it wasn't enough. He didn't stop there. Under the old covenant, only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, and only once a year during the celebration of Yom Kippur. When he entered into the Holy of Holies, he did so with fear and trembling, it says, because he wasn't sure. After I get in there, right, and I sprinkle this blood of goats and sheep, is that acceptable to God? So it was a real sense of fear for him, this one high priest, right, that could enter the Holy of Holies, and then, again, only once a year. Clearly, the veil that was in the temple at that point in time, clearly that veil told the rest of the world that ordinary people could not live in the presence of God. There was this separation, and no one was allowed to be in there except the high priest, and once a year. So we, you and I, right, were kind of, can't be in the presence of God. Not possible. But if you look at Matthew 27:51, it says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, or in two, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake. In Mark 15:38, it says, and the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. And in Luke 23:45, it says, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Three gospels, all three saying that this veil that had always, for many centuries, right, had separated God from his people. And it was rent. So you know me. What does the word rent mean? I know you pay rent, right? I made the assumption that that wasn't what it meant, that God had to pay, that God paid rent, right? So I looked it up, right? And what I found was that rent comes from the word rend, R-E-N-D. And so you look at the word rend, and what does that mean? What it means is that it means torn, ripped, or shredded. It wasn't taken down and folded all in a nice package so that it could be put up at some point in time. Mm-mm. That's not how the Lord took it down. Because it says it was torn, ripped, or shredded. And so when Christ died on the cross, the entry into the Holy of Holies was no longer a place where only the high priest could enter on, and then once a year. It became a place where you and I can experience God's presence all the time. It really is our choice. Do we want to experience God's presence? Because you see, God rent the veil in the temple. What do we do? Do we put up our own veil around us? There are things that I think perhaps are a veil for us, and that's things like fear, or I'm not worthy. I'm truly a candidate for the unworthy approach. Shame, unforgiveness. There's probably a whole list of things that we can put up as a veil that keeps us from seeing and actually being in God's presence. I want to remind you, we put them up, not God. He tore it down. However, we can put our own up. And that is something that we need to look into and search our own heart for, is do we have a veil that prevents us from really experiencing the presence of God? Now, I've told you many, many times that I cannot sing, so I'm not going to sing for you this morning. However, there is a song. I do enjoy listening to music. So there is a song that was sung by Gordon Moat, I believe is the way you say his last name. And it goes like this. Why do you stay behind those bars? Meaning you're unwilling to enter into God's presence. Why do you stand behind those bars when a soul set free is who you really are? You are a soul set free. Why do you wear those prison rags when he's told you you're not captive to your past? Don't you know you've been covered by grace? Time to throw off those chains. Why are you sitting in prison with the door wide open? Sitting in a prison with the door wide open. Like you know you've been forgiven? I'm sorry. Aren't you ready to start living? Like you know you've been forgiven? Sitting in a prison with the door wide open. Why do you stay locked down by shame? Because that was gone the day you called on Jesus' name. And all the guilt and all the fear, tell me why you let them keep you here. Don't you know you've been covered by grace? You're not defined by yesterday. Why are you sitting in a prison with the door wide open? Sitting in prison with the door wide open. You know, we do. We do sit in prison. But the door's wide open. God opened that door. But we sit back here and we think, no, can't go in there. But we can. And it is marvelous to be able and to be in God's presence. And yet we sit back there, and the door is wide open. And that makes it very different. I told you that the high priest always entered with fear and trembling. But if you were to look at Hebrews 10:19, because Jesus is always with you, right? Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by what? The blood of Jesus. It says we can enter boldly. Why can we enter boldly and the high priest couldn't? The answer is Jesus is right there. He wants to enter with us. He's our mediator before the Father. And he wants you to enter boldly, with confidence. You can. He died for that purpose. He died such that you could enter into the presence of God boldly and with confidence. That's part of Resurrection Sunday. And that, in and of itself, is an amazing gift from our Savior Jesus Christ. Christ's death and resurrection gave us the forgiveness of sins and the entrance into God's presence. Is that enough? Dayenu. It wasn't enough for God. He didn't stop there. With our sins forgiven and the door wide open, so that we can enter into the very presence of God, what more could have happened on Resurrection Sunday? Because that seems in and of itself, those two things seem just remarkable and amazing that God wanted that to happen. Well, do you know who you are? I know. I'm Bob. This is Jordan. No, do you know who you are? Not only are your sins forgiven, and you can enter into the very presence of God himself, you enter as a child of God. So when you think about it, you think it was necessary for God to make us his children? I would say the answer to that's no. It wasn't necessary, but it's something that God wanted to do. It was his choice to make you his child. And so God chose that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as their Lord and Savior become the children of the God Most High. You know that in the New Testament alone, and if you were to look up children of God in the New Testament, I imagine it changes by what version you read, but there are at least 55 verses that say that we are the children of God. So if you have trouble believing that you're a child of God, well, here's 55 cases where it says you are. And I don't think that it can be doubted after the Lord gives you that many instances where he calls you his child. You are his child. And so if you were to look, and I did think about giving you all 55, but I said, yeah, they might not appreciate me going through 55 verses, so I only chose three. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In Galatians 3:26, for ye are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And then in Philippians 2:15, it says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? But Philippians was written a few years ago. But the words speak to the truth of today as well. So not only are we the children of God, which would have been fantastic to begin with, but we're also joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're not just his children. We could be adopted, right? But was it necessary for God to say, well, I'm not only going to just adopt you, you inherit. You are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You inherit everything that Christ has. You inherited it. You are a co-heir, right, with Jesus Christ. So when you think about that you are a child of God, it's more than just being a child. You're a joint heir, and you share in those things. Look at Romans 8:17, and this is the New International Version. It says, now if we are children, then we are heirs. H-E-I-R-S, by the way, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. So if we're co-heirs with Jesus, then when we enter into God's presence, right, Jesus goes with us. The power that is in the blood of Jesus, as we sang last night, and his presence with us, give us that boldness that allow us to enter into God's presence with confidence. So Christ's death and resurrection gave us the forgiveness of sins, entrance into the Holy of Holies, adoption as children of God, dayenu. Is that enough? Is that enough for you? You would think, probably. But God wasn't done yet. So it wasn't enough from God's perspective. Because, right, 50 days after Passover feast in Jerusalem, the Jews celebrated the festival of Shavuot, I think is the way it's pronounced. Shavuot. That's a good pronunciation, thank you. It was another of those feasts where the Jews were required, if they could, to come to Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, again, packed with people. There was a lot of folks around the city. There was a bustling and just, a lot of activities going on. And the disciples, and it's more than the disciples that were gathered together, but if you were to read Acts in chapter 2 in verses 1 through 5, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven." Every nation under heaven. So you can think of all the people that were in Jerusalem at that point in time. So this event, right, was really the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus made before he ascended into heaven, and that's in John 16:7, and it says, "Nevertheless, I will tell you the truth. It is expedient for me, for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." You see, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us and surrounds us, that joins with our spirit to nurture us and to guide us, that we might mature in our faith and demonstrate to those around us the fruit of the Spirit that you find in Galatians 5:22 and 23. It's the Holy Spirit that makes that possible. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that grants us the gifts of the Spirit that is found in 1 Corinthians 12:1-10. It is the power of the Holy Spirit working in us that brings us into an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. While we may think that Resurrection Sunday is a time to celebrate God's gift of salvation through the blood of Jesus, we need to remember that God gave us so much more. It's much more. He welcomes us into his kingdom, right? He adopts us as his children. He gave us the Holy Spirit, all of which came about because he was willing to go to the cross and shed his blood on the cross. So knowing that our Heavenly Father not only gave his Son to shed his blood for the forgiveness of his sin, but he set in place a new and living way for us to enter into and enjoy the presence of God. So how do we respond to that? How do we respond to these things that God made possible through his death and resurrection? You know, all that God asks for us, from us, right, is our love. And that, as his children, we would be with him in his holy home of love, fellowship, abiding continually all the time. That love should be demonstrated through our obedience. Love should drive us to want to be obedient to our Heavenly Father for all the things that He's done for us. And it is that obedience that generates faith with us. The more obedient we are, the more we see God work in our lives, the stronger our faith becomes, and it just keeps going. But it keeps going because we choose to be obedient. So this morning, I think we should all have a sense of excitement and gratitude for the gifts that have been given to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. So my desire is that you would leave here excited about what the Lord has done for you. Not just, well, here's Easter Sunday and I don't know. Let's have a little excitement about the fact that this is Resurrection Sunday and that Christ died for us, that we might enjoy all these gifts that He has given to us. So we should have a grateful heart that's filled with the joy of the Lord and a heart that is absolutely in love with our Heavenly Father. And so before I close this morning, I wanted to share a story with you which happened many years ago. I think I've told you before that I grew up in a Methodist church, and this would be a huge congregation in the church I grew up in. It was my mom and dad, my sister and I, and a couple other people. And that was the congregation. And so when we came to Virginia, we found a little Methodist church in Gainesville, and we started going there. And then we decided a little later, because we had some neighbors that really showed us what a spirit-driven worship service really looked like. And so we said, well, we probably need to find some other place. And I had worked with a gentleman. His name was John Ryder, and he was at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And he said, you ought to come to Emmanuel Baptist Church. So we did. And Pastor Bob was there, right? And it wasn't long, and Pastor Bob said, I'd like you and Marcy to do ICT. And I think that stands, been a long time, but I think it stands for International Christian Training. I think that's what it stands for. Might be wrong. And he said, you know, we do that on Sunday evenings just before the Sunday evening service. So it's usually from 6 to 7. And he says, what we really like to do is get people interested and do something that they would enjoy. And so we think that movies would be a good idea if you can find some really good movies. So Marcia and I sat down and we started looking for movies that we could show from 6 to 7. And on this one time, we picked out a movie by Tony Campolo. And it was called It's Friday, But Sunday's Coming. And so we didn't preview it before we started to show it. And so it's going on, right? And Tony is really getting into it. And it's very, very charismatic. And Marcia and I are sitting back there saying, I wonder if Pastor Bob's going to kick us out. I don't know. This is for Baptist church. This is pretty bad. Yeah. So we are really concerned because we thought, we have selected the wrong movie. So the service, ICT gets over with, right? And it's time for the service to start. Here's Pastor Bob. It's Friday and Sunday's coming. Whoa! I couldn't believe it. I said, well, maybe we're not going to get thrown out after all. He was running down the hallway shouting, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And I thought, we got over this one, all right. And so I did a little research on that. That was not the first time that a sermon on Friday, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The first time it was preached in 1913 by a gentleman by the name of S.M. Lockridge. And you know, the way it was presented was, on Friday, Satan was sure he'd won the battle, right? Jesus was dead. Disciples were in disarray. They didn't want to be found, right? And it seemed that everything was lost. But on Sunday, right, on Sunday, death was defeated. The Holy of Holies was open, and we were adopted, and we have the Holy Spirit. So Tony Campolo describes his experience while preaching at a black church. And as I'm sure you know, and as a Gideon, I talked at many black churches. The deacons sit right up here in front. Right? And every time you say something good, they say, amen. Mm-hmm. So Tony was preaching, and over good, the deacons said, amen. And Tony said, I got to feeling really good because it seemed like everything I said was, amen. And so he just kept preaching. And finally he ended his sermon and the pastor got up to preach. And the pastor said five words. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And he said them again. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And all of a sudden he would say, it's Friday. And the congregation would say, but Sunday's coming. And he would say, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The message for us this morning is, it's not Friday. Friday's done. It's over with. Christ died. It's done. Sunday's here. And we can enjoy it, right? Christ is risen. The gates of heaven are open to us. We are his children. We've been adopted. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. What more could we ask for? Dainu, isn't that enough? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
No, I did one other thing. That's the close of my sermon, by the way. But I did one other thing. I'll read it, not sing it.
Sing it.
I'm not singing. Because you would all leave. And I don't want you to leave because, let me read it first. This is the song, Dainu, like we said in Seder last night. It says, if the Lord had only given us forgiveness, just forgiveness, would have been enough for me. Dainu, right? If the Lord had only welcomed us in his presence, just his presence, would have been enough for me. If the Lord had only given us adoption, just adoption, would have been enough for me. If the Lord had only given us the Holy Spirit, just the Holy Spirit, would have been enough for me. Of course, there's a chorus in there that goes along with that, too.
We're going to sing. We can't.
You want words? Anybody want words?
That. We cannot sing that.
And then you'll sing it. Okay.
For those of you who were at the Seder last night, you know the chorus. If you've not been to one of these before, you're going to learn the chorus. Here's your Hebrew lesson for today. The word, as Bob said, is Dainu. And the chorus goes like this. Die, die, ainu, die, die, ainu, die, die, ainu, die, ainu, die, ainu, die, ainu, die, die, ainu, die, die, ainu, die, die, ainu, die, ainu, die, ainu. If the Lord had only given us forgiveness, just forgiveness would have been enough for me. Die, die, ainu, die, die, ainu, die, die, ainu, die, ainu, die, ainu, die, ainu, die, die, ainu, die, die, ainu, die, die, ainu, die, ainu, die, ainu.
If the Lord had only welcomed us into his presence, just his presence would have been enough for me. Die, if the Lord had only given us adoption, just adoption would have been enough for me. If the Lord had only given us the Holy Spirit, just the Spirit would have been enough for me.
See, now you know Hebrew. There you go.